Good Friday. How can one describe such a day? The wrongdoing of all humanity, putting to an end an innocent man, the Son of God. This is the story of Jesus' death by way of a cross, all in one moment bringing death to the bright light of our future. He never stopped loving us, and yet this is the incredible part of it. Our sin stopped his heart. Our sin drove the nails firmly in the hands of God. All along, these were the plans. We told ourselves that we were in control, and this was deemed sufficient for all of us. The brutal beating, the inhuman flogging, the naked humiliation. Heaven watched and saw it all. Our rebellion, our guilt, our shame, erasing the very notion of reconciling us with God. Our sin and our debt, overcoming Jesus. Here is our King, obliterated. The enemy laughing, his plans unstoppable. There's no longer the sound of freedom rising. Now God's people are utterly broken. Behold the chains of mortality. Yes, this is what is true. We had heard the stories of old. The lost are found, the blind can see, the weak are made strong. But now we are witnesses to this reality. God is dead. We'd almost believed there is a way of redemption, there is a life of fulfillment, there is a peace beyond understanding. Now we know better. For us, we can say that God is encapsulated in this one realization. The single greatest sacrifice in human history is finished. How clearly we can see it. So what's so good about Good Friday? Just one thing, that the blood of Jesus can reverse the curse of sin and raise the dead to life. How clearly we can see, it is finished. The single greatest sacrifice in human history, encapsulated in this one realization, we can say that God is for us. Now we know better. There is a peace beyond understanding. There is a life of fulfillment. There is a way of redemption. We had almost believed God is dead, but now we are witnesses to this reality. The weak are made strong. The blind can see. The lost are found. We had heard the stories of old. Yes, this is what is true. The chains of mortality utterly broken. Behold, freedom rising. Now God's people are unstoppable. There's no longer the sound of the enemy laughing, his plans obliterated. Here is our King, Jesus, overcoming our sin and our debt, reconciling us with God, erasing the very notion of our rebellion, our guilt, our shame. Heaven watched and saw it all, the naked humiliation, the inhuman flogging, the brutal beating, and this was deemed sufficient for all of us. We told ourselves that we were in control. All along, these were the plans firmly in the hands of God. Our sin drove the nails, our sin stopped his heart, and yet this is the incredible part of it. He never stopped loving us. The bright light of our future, all in one moment, bringing death to death by way of a cross. This is the story of Jesus, the Son of God, an innocent man putting to an end the wrongdoing of all humanity. How can one describe such a day? Good Friday.
What's so good about Good Friday is that Jesus unravels your life of sin, that Jesus undoes sin, takes the penalty of death and reverses it back and to a life once lived. And it's all for you. Good Friday is so good because it's for you. Sure, we often hear that Paul tells us, St. Paul, that we preach Christ crucified. I always thought that was perplexing. Why not Christ resurrected? We believe in the resurrection on Easter Sunday. But no, he says we preach Christ crucified. And it's interesting that the Bible, Jesus even doesn't ask us to remember his birth and resurrection. He tells us that we remember his death. Today is Good Friday, and it's good because we get to see where we are saved at this cross, Jesus' cross. And just like the gallows, just like the electric chair, the cross of the Roman government was an instrument of death. So why would we want to glory in it? Why would we want to remember it? Why would we want to preach it? It doesn't really attract crowds. Why glory in it? Why is it good? Because of what took place there. When Jesus said, "It is finished," all your sins from the cradle and to your grave were paid for in advance. So it is the cross where God's first and God's last word comes to you for salvation. It's his first word because Jesus was the lamb slain for the foundation of the world. And the cross is the last word of Jesus because he has been redeemed us by the blood out of every single tongue, people, and nation. There is no plan B for salvation. The only road that you and I have hope for in this life or in the next goes straight through the cross. We can't bypass it. We can't go around it. We can't go above it. We can't go beneath it. It's right smack dab in our face today. Because the Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Jesus only comes for sinners. And that's what you and I are. But today, we thank God that he comes for sinners. As you look to the cross today, you'll see the curse of sin. Death is the penalty of sin in the world. But you also see the cost of sin. That's where Jesus paid for it. And as you look to the cross today, you'll see the cure for sin. That only Jesus could fit that empty mold. And as you look to the cross today, tonight, tomorrow, as you might wear a cross around your neck, as you look to the cross once more this year, remember, he did it for me.